Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Welcome to yet another edition of your favorite show by this time, The Art of Shepherding Chat Room. This is our third week. We're going strong, and I can tell you that we are really excited with all the love and attention that you're showing us. God bless you for watching every week. And we trust that your ministry is being affected by the little time that you're spending with us in the chat room. I'm happy to tell you that tonight is a purely Q&A edition. And tonight we're going to attempt to catch up on all the questions that you've been asking. We realize that our shows are not able to answer all the questions that come in. So tonight we're dedicating the show entirely to questions and answers. And we're going to try to catch up with some of the questions that you've been sending to us through our various social media channels. I want you, if you're watching, to just take a moment or two to like this page. Make sure you're subscribed, you have the alerts on, and do me one big favor, which is to share this with your friends, share it on your WhatsApp status, share it wherever you share your stuff, and I believe that God will bless you. That share is absolutely important to us, it's immensely helpful, and we want you to do exactly that. We'll take a short break, and when I come back, we'll take off from there. Here on the Art of Shepherding chat room, and like I told you earlier, tonight is a purely Q&A session, and I think that you are really, really going to enjoy it. But before we delve into the meat of the matter, tonight we have a spot of music for you as usual. We're taking something again from First Love Music. It's titled Who is Jesus? And it features one more time Keziah. Let's take the music, and I'll be back.
Everyone has a different opinion, but you are the Son of God. You are the Savior of the world. You are the way, the truth, the life. Who is Jesus? He's the Savior. Jesus. to university, you never drove a car. You never traveled 200 miles from home. The people want to know
who is Jesus.
He's the center of the world.
I'm not sure what your taste in music is, but that is definitely good music by any standards. It's First Love Music. You can find it on any of the major music streaming services, whichever one you use. There's Apple Music, there's Spotify. Just search for First Love Music and you'll find all their lovely albums are up there. Very spiritual music, which I would listen to if I were you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that tonight is a Q&A edition, and we're going to try to go through as many of the questions as you've asked us over the weeks on social media as possible. I also want to encourage you to like the stream, share it wherever you do the sharing. You know better than I do where you do your sharing. So share the stream. Let it be a blessing to somebody and to their ministry. Well, tonight, as is usual, we have with us the man who is always leaving us in awe, leaving us wanting more. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have one more time, Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop, you are welcome. Bishop, thank you're very you. Welcome one more time.
Thank you very much.
Tonight, you've been gracious to us to just do a Q&A session and to go through the numerous. We've received tons of questions. We'll take as many as time will allow us. And I'm not sure what we'll do about the rest. But
thank you.
I really believe that people will be blessed as you explain the questions. And I think that questions are good because they help to also guide us into many different areas of the discussion and bring out things even better.
I think it's a very good idea to handle these questions, to address the concerns and the questions and the issues and difficulties in the minds of people. And I think it's also a reflection of the deep interest many are showing in this work you are doing. And I think that it's a blessing. You are a blessing to churches. You are a blessing to shepherds. And I want to say to all of you watching that, I mean, we are enjoying the work of God. And it's a blessing for us to meet and look at ministry from the lenses of a man God has really used, a man God has anointed, and a man who is still in the business of, you know, pastoring churches, pastoring pastors, and doing a great apostolic work all over the world. And so I am excited that we can, you know, look at this very beautiful book,
beautiful
Art of Shepherding, which is the name of this chat room. So anybody watching must know that God has called you. Once you are watching, it means there's a call on your life. And this book is a book you must not joke with. Its contents can change your life. Because, you see, apart from this being a manual for ministry work, it also helps in building relationships.
Wow.
Yes. Because there is shepherding everywhere. Bosses are shepherding their employees. Yes. Fathers are shepherding their children at home.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Businessmen are shepherding their clients and customers.
Wow.
I mean, I've been to funerals and seen people from banks attending the funeral because their customer or their client or whatever the English word they use has lost a father. So that's they are not pastors, but they even know what it means to care for someone who is within your circles of life.
That's right.
So if bankers are shepherding, then pastors ought to know better, shepherds ought to do better. And I thank God that the art of shepherding is putting into our hands the credentials to become a man or a woman God is using. So it's a very good thing, and I'm happy.
That's lovely.
I am very happy that we have questions. I want to thank all of you who have sent questions from everywhere. It's a blessing, and as we go on, please feel free to send your questions. We will surely address them. We will dedicate an entire program to it, and I believe it will be a blessing. So, Mr. Okobi, it's a blessing
all
to come on.
Right.
And you are all welcome.
So, I've got my questions laid out here beautifully. Bishop, most of the questions are coming from discussions we've had over the past 2 weeks.
Yes.
We have a few questions that are general questions, kind of general ministry questions. What I'll do is I'll leave those questions for later on in the show. Hopefully, we'll be able to get through to them.
Yes.
But let's go right through to our first question. It's coming from Isaac Emisa. And Isaac is asking, how can a shepherd overcome a wounded heart? So his question is kind of a 3-in-1. How can a shepherd overcome a wounded heart? How can a pastor or shepherd develop a big heart towards his ministry? And he says, what can be done to restore a wounded heart? So how can a shepherd overcome a wounded heart? How can a pastor or a shepherd develop a big heart and towards his ministry? And then what can be done to restore a wounded heart?
Wow, Isaac.
Isaac Elisa. Isaac Elisa. Yes.
Wow. Well, a wounded heart is one of the complications of ministry. You know, James said, in many things we offend all. James 3. So offenses are really part of the ministry. And anyone who is doing God's work with his heart, once you open your heart up to something, it means you are making yourself vulnerable.
Vulnerable, yeah.
So you'll notice that people do things which don't hurt you. It's only those who are close, those you love. I mean, if you don't love a person, hardly will the person be able to hurt you. Mm. So as we do the ministry, we are doing it with our hearts. And there is love. We open up our hearts to serve God, to minister to others, to relate with fellow pastors. And sometimes we don't get the right responses. So it is the inappropriate, the incongruous responses. Yes. Yeah. Responses that are not congruous, that are not in keeping with the measure of love you have bestowed. When you get something not so much in keeping with what you have given, then you get hurt. So James says in James 3, 2, that he said, for in many things we offend all. He said, if any man offend not in word, that person is a perfect man.
Wow.
And nobody is perfect.
Nobody is perfect.
Yes. So, in this book, in chapter 41 of The Art of Shepherding, Bishop tells us to develop a forgiving heart. Wow. Yes. There's a type of heart everybody must have. Once you enter the ministry, you do not only have to have a loving heart or a giving heart, but you must also develop a forgiving heart. So in addition to your giving heart, you must have a forgiving heart. And he says, and I'm reading it from my tablet, I have the ebook. He says, a forgiving heart is a heart that is able to show mercy. Yes, in Matthew 18, verse 35, I'm sure you see it on the screen. Jesus said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So forgiveness is not from the mind. I guess you know that these questions are coming from the sessions we've done on the heart.
On the heart, yes, that's right.
And Jesus is the one teaching us that forgiveness is from the heart. So it's very important that we develop hearts that forgive. If you don't have a heart, and what does it mean to forgive? To forgive simply means to write off.
Wow.
To consider as not having happened. So if someone owes you $100 and you forgive the person his debts, it means you have written off that debt. Or you are saying that it never happened. And a shepherd must have that heart. A pastor who doesn't have the heart that says it never happened, I've written it off. You are going to walk about with a heart loaded with pain and hurts. And then what happens is that you begin to minister bitterness. Instead of ministering the word of God, instead of ministering love, because your ministry is an outpouring of your heart. So if your heart is bitter, your heart is an unforgiving heart, you are going to minister bitterness and pain. And people don't come to you to receive the poison from your heart. So a good shepherd cancels. He writes off.
Yeah.
He says that, you know, you said it, you did it, but I've forgiven you. And the basis for a forgiving heart is that you also have been forgiven.
That's right.
Yes. Yes. You, the shepherd, you, the pastor, you've been forgiven. Sometimes you think that you just came from heaven as a shepherd, like the golden stool.
Hey.
Now, many pastors have a very wild past. A pastor has a past. Yes, a pastor has a past. So if you are a pastor and you have a past, you forgive for as long as you have been forgiven. Otherwise, your own forgiveness can stir up the bringing up of your past. You remember the man who owed a lot of money,
yeah,
and the master forgave him,
yeah,
and he turned around and he met someone who owed him far less, and he held the man by the neck. We call it habo hook. He said, the man was begging. He said, no, pay me now.
Pay me now.
And somebody saw it and went and reported to the master. And the man called him and said, but you owed so much more. I forgive you. You can't forgive your brother. What did he do? He brought back the past. You know, I've done so many things. I don't want my past to be brought up. I don't know about you. That is why it's an imperative. It's a ministry imperative that you forgive. Because as you love people, you will not get the responses you always look for. So what do? You write off, you forgive, and you say, you know something, it's okay. Let's play on. So that is it.
Wow. So I
want to say that if you go to chapter 42 also of this book, Bishop also talks about being healed of a wounded heart.
Yeah.
Let me read that. Point number 5 in chapter 42. It says, be healed of a wounded heart. And somebody is watching who is wounded and bitter because of ministry work. You loved a member. You loved a sheep. You brought someone to your home. You cared for someone, only for the person to turn around and bite you and treat you with scorn. Bishop says, a wounded heart is a heart that is hurt.
Wow.
Or suffering from an injury. Events that have occurred have broken the hearts of these ones. And Psalm 109 verse 22 says, for I am poor and needy. My heart is wounded within me. My heart is wounded within me. So all these are realities.
Yeah.
Our hearts get wounded along the way. And ministry has this. And I pray for you that as you go on in ministry, when you pick up offenses and hurts, by the grace of God, you'll be healed.
Amen.
Yeah. What is needed in ministry are scars, not wounds. Yes. Ministry, the greatness of a minister is determined by the scars. It's the scars that make you a star. The wounds must heal to form scars. As for scars, you are allowed to have them. Because they tell that you have weathered storms. You have weathered insults and injuries. And may your wounds heal.
Amen.
And may you be left with only scars.
Amen.
so that you can take your place as stars in heaven one day. God bless you.
Beautiful. You know, I have one more question on wounded hearts, which I would like to take. It's from Abby. And she's asking, how can a wounded heart be restored and be made right with God as a shepherd?
I think that's a good question. And I think it's along the same line.
Yes.
But I think that it makes it special because she's talking about restoration. That is, being capable of relating with people as though nothing has happened. And I think it's a place we must all get to. I think one of the healing agents is the word of God.
Wow.
Yeah. David said he sent forth his word. And that word healed them. Yes. So healing comes from the word of God. And I think anyone who is wounded or hurt must go to the word. Sometimes not literally as Bible scriptures, but messages.
Wow. Yeah.
Every shepherd must have messages that, you know, encourage you, messages of healing of the heart. Yes, and if you are looking for it, you'll find them. I have a repertoire of such messages. So as I get wounded and hurt, even today somebody hurt me.
Yes.
You know, but I don't always go to messages. Sometimes I go to the word. And sometimes I don't go to anything. The word I have in me gives me self-reparative features. Yeah. I hope you know that without antibiotics and medications, your body is able to heal itself. I hope somebody knows that. Your body has what it takes to heal itself. The use of these medications and drugs and so on is to prevent or to shorten the healing process and also to prevent infections from entering the wound. But on a normal day, the body itself has the capacity to heal itself. The body which has eaten well, the body which is fit, the body whose immune systems are rightly aligned can heal itself.
Wow.
So a lot of wounds just heal on their own. In the same way, your heart can heal on its own. If you've eaten the right word, if you've soaked in the right messages, if you are in the right state, if you are in the right state, your heart has its own self-reparative features. Yes. And that's why I want to encourage you to read your Bible every day.
Every day.
Pray every day. Read books every day. Because there are some times and some hurts, you won't even have the energy to go to the Bible.
Yeah.
The heart itself must have a way of healing. And the word you have stored in your heart can at that time kick in and bring healing to you.
Oh, wow, yes. Fantastic. All right. That's lovely. There's something you said which really hits me, which is that many times we see ourselves as wounded, hurt, we are the victims.
Mm.
But you said something, which is that one of the things that should help us to forgive others is to remember that we have also been forgiven.
Yes.
Which means that we have also been offenders.
Yes.
So it's important to remember that you are not just the victim, but you've also been the offender
thank
before.
You.
So
thank you.
Take it easy, you know.
Yes.
Take it easy.
Many times we play the victim.
The victim, yeah.
when you have also victimized somebody.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And we tend to forget, I think it's part of the symptom complex of evil in our hearts. But it's important to know, if somebody offends you, remember that you've all... See, that's why Jesus really predicated forgiveness on your ability to forgive. Mm. He forgives you to the degree that you can forgive others.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
If you can't forgive your neighbor, he will not forgive you.
Yeah, that's it.
He will not that's forgive you. So, I think we must all be looking for opportunities to be hurt so that you can forgive
and
others and store some points. Yes. And store some points. All right.
All right. Beautiful. So, Bishop, my next question comes from Collins. And Collins is from Agomeda. And he's asking, Bishop, I'm a shepherd and I have a basenta. And the basenta is a cell, a home cell in our denomination. How do I let my heart lead me in my basenta? He says, I'm a shepherd and I have a basenta. How do I let my heart lead me in my basenta? I guess in my basenta work.
Oh, okay. Yes. Is it Collins?
Collins, yes, from Agomeda.
Yeah. Collins, thank you for your question, Agomeda. We are building a nice church there.
Beautiful.
I hope we'll get to see you one day in that building. Beautiful church. But I want to answer your question straight away and say that your heart is already leading you. Wow. It's not a question of how to get your heart to lead you. Your actions are a product of your heart. Whether your actions are good or bad, right or wrong, what we do comes from our heart. It's from the heart that everything happens. So I guess you are saying that you are asking how to get your heart to lead you to do the right things as a basenta leader. Mm. Then I will say to you that all you need to do is to follow the people who are ahead of you and are doing what you are doing better. Yes. We are all, it's called the art of following. The art. And there is a book. I'm sure it will be put on the screen. The Art of Following. I want to recommend that book because we get to where we are also by following people God is using. People who are ahead of us. And one of the things you should do, Collins, is that you must company with people who are doing the shepherding work better. And make sure that your heart is one with them. Once your heart is one with them, you will find yourself walking on that path. You see, the men God used, the woman, Mary, who got pregnant by the Holy Ghost, and I'm sure was at a loss for what to do because she couldn't explain to her society what was wrong. The Bible says that she went and looked for Elizabeth, who was more pregnant than her. So always you have to look for somebody. So she went and spent time with her. You know, and so Elijah had Elisha walking with him. So Elisha was guided into ministry by walking with Elijah. So your heart leads you on the basis of the people you've joined yourself to.
Wow.
Yes. And you see this in, I mean, Paul had Timothy, Titus. You need to have someone. In chapter 37 of this beautiful book, The Art of Shepherding, Bishop says that you must develop one heart with those called of God.
Wow.
Chapter 39. Develop one heart with those called of God. He said, this is a heart that is in agreement with and united with the brethren. Mm. And in Acts 4:32, the Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they all had all things common. So you can have one heart with someone. And I pray that Collins and anybody looking for a way to do ministry will find someone. There is always someone ahead of you. There's always someone doing what you are doing and is more advanced. There is always an Elizabeth for every Mary. And you must find that person. Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, our next question comes from Reverend Acker.
Wow.
And he is asking how he can make his heart good for the shepherding work. He says, Bishop, how can I make my heart good for the shepherding work?
Wow. I think it is just like Collins'
exactly,
question.
Similar.
And you see, Jesus said, either make the tree good and the fruit will be good, or make the tree corrupt and the fruits will be corrupt. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and the heart will be good. So, Reverend, you said Acker.
Reverend Acker, yes.
I hope you are watching today.
Yes, I hope so.
To make your heart good for the ministry requires, first of all, it's possible to make your heart good. Mm. A good heart simply comes about by, remember, in the first episode, I read from one of the chapters where Bishop was talking about the heart pumping out blood.
That's right.
That it receives.
It receives. Yeah.
So a good heart pumps out, is a heart that pumps out good things.
Wow.
Yes. And how does a heart get good things? It gets good things by receiving good things.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, a pastor makes his heart good for ministry by receiving good things.
Wow.
If you don't receive good things, you will not be able to have a good heart that gives good things. So, what are some of the good things a pastor can receive? One is that a pastor must constantly read the Bible. There is
beautiful.
Nothing better for your heart than the Word of God. Look, no matter what you do, we will come back to read your Bible and pray every day. Yes. Read your Bible. You make your heart good by reading books as well. Any shepherd who does not read cannot lead. If you don't read, don't lead. Those who lead are those who read. I was having my quiet time recently, and in Luke 9 or 10, and a man came to Jesus to ask him what he must do to have eternal life. And Christ, I noticed that Christ's question was that, have you not read these things? So Christ expects you to read.
Mm.
Yes, Jesus expects you to read. So, you make your heart good by reading obviously, when I say reading, I'm also talking about listening to messages.
That's right.
You see, what you take in
into the heart.
Into the heart conditions your heart and makes it possible for you to pour out good things. And I want to say to all of us, one of the ways to make your heart good for ministry is to stay clear of those who don't like ministry.
Wow.
Yes. Part ways from them. Part ways with their pollutions. You can't be with somebody who doesn't like ministry, criticizes ministry, has nothing to say about ministry or your church or your pastor or working for God. Don't be near people who don't like what you like. And I'm by this advising anyone who gets a beloved. Don't go near people who don't like your beloved. The principle, is that you must not fellowship with people who don't like what you like. Anytime you like something, be near people who like what you like. That is why there is such a word, an English word, as like-minded.
Wow.
Like-minded. So when you have a mind about something, you go to those who are like that mind, like-minded people.
Beautiful.
If you don't do that, soon you will find yourself ebbing away from the things you like. Your love is decreasing. Your love for anything. I mean, this principle, I'm just using it for shepherding. But it is a universal principle. Never be near people who have negative things to say about what you like. Because the truth is that whatever you like has got not too nice parts. And I don't need you to mention those not nice parts. I like my God. I like my church. I like my pastor. I like my ministry. I like my wife. I like my son. I like my daughter. I like my life. If you don't like it, if you don't like what I like, my darling boy, pack yourself somewhere. Yeah. Don't entertain negative comments about things which are your passion. Unless you are doing something wrong, then you can admit comments and insights that are negative to your negative thing. That makes it positive. But if what you like is positive, don't bring around negativity. Negativity. Cut them off. It is better to be alone with your positive mind than to have 10 people who are accompanying around you with negativity. Soon, you will lose your grip on what God has blessed you with. And when you lose it, that is when you realize that, wow, ministry was a great thing. I miss my years of being a shepherd. I miss my church. People leave churches and they miss the church. How do we know? We see them on Facebook watching the same programs.
I think that without realizing it, Bishop, you've kind of dovetailed into my next set of questions.
I see.
My next two questions are very similar, so I'll ask them together and then you can help us. The first one is coming from Angaluba Lamisi. And the question is concerning what Bishop said about a failing heart in the ministry. If you detect that you have a failed heart in ministry, how can you get a heart transplant?
Hey.
So concerning what Bishop said about
surgeon.
You know, we talked about medicine and ministry.
Okay, that's true.
Concerning what Bishop said about a failing heart in the ministry, if you detect that you have a failed heart in ministry, how can you get a heart transplant? And the second question, which comes from Harriet Ajay, says, how do you restore or heal a failing heart? think these two questions are about the same. So the first one is from Angaluba Lamisi.
Wow.
And then from
Lamisi.
RFJ, yes.
Are you a cardiac surgeon? No, because the question is insightful. Because one of the ways to treat a failed heart is through heart transplants. Is the ultimate management for heart failure. You transplant, you put a new or a better heart. So let's get to the management of a failing heart. If your heart is failing, what do you do? All right. You do exactly what a doctor will do to a patient who is suffering from heart failure. Yes. You know, the Bible talks about the heart of man failing. Mm. It's one of the end time evils. Mm. Yes, Jesus prophesied it. And among the many things, earthquakes and so on, he said, when the hearts of men are failing them for fear. So there is heart failure. And when your heart fails, you are unable to do much. Wow. Yes, remember I talked about easy fatigability.
Easy fatigability, yes.
So let's talk about the management of heart failure. Ministry heart failure. Spiritual heart failure. One of the big things you will learn to do when your heart is failing is the first thing they will tell you is you must avoid a sedentary lifestyle. Or avoid an inactive lifestyle.
Wow. Wow.
So when your heart is failing in ministry, one of the things you must do is to be active.
Wow.
Yes. Just try to do more. Exercise yourself. Your heart conditions itself when you exercise yourself. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 5, talks about by reason of use.
That's right.
So people have heart failure when their heart is not active.
Wow.
So I'm asking Lamisi, number one is that if your heart is failing in ministry, find things to do.
Wow.
Exercise yourself. Yes. Just not too many things. It must be a graded upscaling of your activities.
Wow.
A little more outreach. A little more Bible discussion. A little more prayer.
Mm.
And you up it a little. And you do a little more. And a little more. You will realize that your heart will begin to condition itself. And you begin to do better. Number two. If your heart is failing, you must avoid some things.
Mm.
Yes. A patient, Bishop Kobe,
yeah,
who is suffering from heart failure,
yeah,
is advised by doctors not to smoke.
Wow.
Yes. Not to drink. There are even certain foods you must avoid.
Avoid.
Yes. Yeah. You can't have heart failure and you are with your cigarette for one packet a day. You are sinking. So when your heart is failing in the ministry, there are things to avoid.
Wow.
And one of the things to avoid is people who don't have good things to say about the ministry.
Mm.
One of the things you avoid is sin. Yes.
Mm.
Avoid evil. Evil causes your heart to fail.
Wow.
One of the reasons, from my little experience as a pastor who has done ministry for a few months and a few years, I've noticed that most of the time, when people don't do well, not all the time, but most of the time, when people are not doing well in the ministry and their output is diminishing by the day,
yes, sir,
if you go into their lives, there is sin lurking somewhere.
Yeah.
That's my experience.
Very true.
There is sin lurking somewhere. Sin, any type of sin. So, let me see. When your heart is failing, chances are that something has come in to pollute your good heart.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to ask you to do an introspective search, an introspection of your heart. Is any sin lingering? Is there something you are accommodating? Are you getting comfortable with sin? Because you see, like Samson, a day came when he had no strength.
That's
to
right.
overpower the Philistines
yeah.
because of a woman whose head was on his laps. I don't want to continue on this line. I mean, how can a man concentrate?
When a woman's head is on your laps.
Your enemies are coming for you.
A woman's head is on your laps. Wow.
And delightless are delightful.
The chapter is poetic tonight.
I'm having a good time here.
So
look out for delightful delightless. It may be a person, it may be a habit, it may even be ease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes pastors and shepherds. Oh, I'm having a good time this evening. Sometimes pastors and shepherds actually take the path of convenience.
Yeah.
And ministry, nothing that is of God will do well when done with convenience.
Convenience.
It is the sacrifice element.
Yeah.
The pain element
yeah.
that brings power wow. into what you are doing.
Yeah.
So let me see. It's possible. I'm not saying you are sinning. No. I can feel that you are a holy girl. But maybe you are relaxing.
Yeah.
People get jobs. People get, they enter new life. I know sisters who get beloveds and they pack up. Yeah. One of my main shepherds. In one of the churches I pastored, my main shepherd, a guy, main, he fell in love with a chorister. From today, up to now, I can't find him. I can't find him. Yes. The girl stole his heart. And each time I remember him, I remember that a woman can deprive you of power to do ministry.
Wow.
Power to fight for God. So look in your life. There may be sin lurking somewhere, some comfort somewhere. And finally, when your heart is failing, you need medicine. Go to someone. Most of the medicines that are used for heart failure, they charge the heart, they increase the kicks of the heart. Company with someone whose zeal will kick your heart into activity. Go to your pastor, company with people, and as you walk with them and you are one with them, there will be a heart transplant.
Wow.
So that is it for you, Lamisi.
That's beautiful. Well, at this time I want to take a bit of a break, but before I do that, I want to ask that for those of you who are watching and who are touched by God to support this beautiful work that we're doing, I want to give you the means by which you support us. This is a fantastic work. You've enjoyed it for a few weeks. You continue to enjoy it. I hear it's your favorite program these days. So I want to ask you to support the Art of Shepherding Chapel by sowing a seed.
Yeah,
and not just the supporting of it, but sowing a seed. We're using the expression sowing a seed because that is something that you're hoping to reap from. And I'm asking you to do something
That's
spiritual
true.
That you will reap from. God is doing a special work with this chat room. You have an opportunity to be part of this special work by sowing a seed and trusting in faith that God himself will bring you a reward as you sow the seed. So The numbers are up on the screen, the means by which you can support the chat room. I want you to take out your phone, your bank app, your laptop, whatever it is that you use, and sow a seed in the Art of Shepherding chat room. And believe that as you do that, something special, a grace is flowing into your ministry and will change your life as you do that. So the numbers are up on the screen. I want you to do that now. Take out your phone wherever you are and sow a beautiful seed for God's blessing and for God's grace to come upon your ministry from this Art of Shepherding chat room. We'll take a break now, and I'll be right back after the break. All right, you're welcome back to the Art of Shepherding chat room. Tonight is a Q&A edition. And if you're just joining us, I can tell you that you have missed an awful lot. Yes. You have missed an awful lot. Tonight, we've been answering questions that have come up from the previous two editions we've had of this show, which have talked about the heart and shepherding. And I want to remind you that this show is based on the book by Bishop Dagwood Mills, The Art of Shepherding. And we have been delving into issues of the heart. And tonight we are trying to clear up the huge backlog of questions that we have received so far. So without much ado, I want to jump right into the next question. This question comes from Francis de Maison. And he's asking, or she, I'm not too sure, Bishop, please, can someone's character or behavior affect the state of his heart? Can someone's character or behavior affect the state of his heart?
Wow.
From Francis.
Francis.
I suspect it's a lady.
Okay. Yes. Yes. That's the state of a person's heart for ministry, to serve God, even to walk with God. Go foundational. Mm. Just walking with God. Your character, your behavior can affect your heart. Mm. Yeah. And Bishop treats this in The Art of Shepherding from chapter 46.
Okay.
Yes. And now, chapter 46. He says here, point number 4. He says, fight against an erring heart. Wow. Yes. A person with an erring heart has wandered away from the right course. And the scripture he gives is Psalm 95 verse 10. It says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. You know, I wish the one who has put the verse up can color my ways, known my ways,
known my ways,
and also color err in their heart. But without that, you can see right away that ways, the ways of a person are linked to the heart of a person.
Wow.
Yes, your ways lead to a certain state of the heart. And what are the ways? When your ways move away from the ways of God.
God.
Bishop Kobe, that is what we mean by backsliding.
Exactly, yeah.
When you backslide, it means your ways have shifted from God's ways. Look at the verse again, please. Known my ways. Known my ways. So anyone who doesn't know God's ways, doesn't walk in God's ways, will err. Mm. And when you err, you are erring in your heart. Mm. So you are in the church. I'm now even talking Christianity. Wow. And I'm speaking to somebody here. That be very careful. You are associating with somebody who will take you off the path. You know, in recent times, as I've read the news, it happened in, is it Bethlehem, Philadelphia? Bethlehem. It also happened in India. And somewhere recently, trains derail.
Derail, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The one in Bethlehem had a lot of toxic material. And there was spillage everywhere. See, I'm saying that we as Christians have a way. We have our track. It's a narrow way. Once you begin to entertain the Broadway life, you are erring from the path and your heart begins to have an errant heart. So watch your ways. Watch your ways. You are beginning to like something God doesn't like.
Wow.
Yeah. You are beginning to go near things God doesn't want. And what I'm saying to you is that soon you will notice that your heart becomes cold towards God. You don't love God anymore. You don't pray anymore. You don't read your Bible anymore. You used to sing happily in the choir. Now, you come to church and say, you don't have the uniform.
The uniform.
And when you go in, you see that a nice girl, black beauty, after some months, you see that her face is becoming fairer. Her dressing is changing. The upper medial quadrants of the breast are bulging. The skirts are getting tighter and shorter. The high heels are getting longer. And the perfume is getting captivating. You will know that this girl has erred. Yes, she has stepped away. She has derailed. Yes, she's off her tracks. You find brothers like that also. When brothers see money, when brothers see a certain girl. So I pray for everyone that we will not have a character that leads to a heart that has erred. You can actually go off course. That is why, as we walk with God, we make sure we are accompanying with the right people. When the apostles were beaten in the marketplace and they were warned not to preach again, Bible says they went to their own company. My dear Christian sister, my dear Christian brother, if you are in the ministry, you must have a company of ministers.
Yeah.
A company of shepherds who are on fire for the Lord. So that you don't err away. You don't err from. It's very important that you avoid an erring heart. And the things that want to derail us are many. Yes, our marriages, our businesses, our personal problems, our health, our children, the need to marry, the need to get pregnant, the need to travel, the need to get a job. All these are things that come in to dilute our commitment to God. But I pray for you for staying power.
Amen.
I said, I pray for you for staying power.
Amen.
May you remain on course.
Amen.
And may God's grace, God's hand, God's power keep you right on course.
Amen.
May you stay on that narrow track.
Amen.
To the end of your days.
Amen.
So that at the end, you will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's it.
So, our next question is coming from Tete Kote Isaac.
Wow.
And he's asking that, Bishop, does the heart of a man affect his anointing? Tetekote Isaac. He says, does the heart of a man affect his anointing?
Does the heart of a man
does it affect his anointing?
Yes. One of our members of the audience asked a similar question. But I'm realizing suddenly that there is another answer to this. First of all, Bishop Kobe, who is this person?
This is Tete Kote Isaac.
Tete, if you are watching, I want to say to you that the state of your heart can affect your anointing. It affects how you receive the anointing. You know, anointing is not received only once. Yes. Like David, he was anointed many times.
That's right.
Any anointing you receive sets you at a particular level. I'm teaching now. Any anointing you receive sets you at a particular level. To go to the next level, you must be anointed again. Because every anointing is for a level. Yes. Because when God anoints you, he anoints you for an assignment. To go higher, you must be anointed. That's what the Bible says. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. So there is always fresh oil for a fresh level, for a fresh assignment. My mind goes to a book, very important book, I'm sure they'll put on the screen. The Anointed and His Anointing. It's a very, very important book. I want to... please, who is this again?
This is Tete Kote Isaac.
Tete, please get this book, The Anointed and His Anointing. You will learn from that book that anointings are not in the air that you catch like flu.
Carried by me.
Anointings are on people.
That's right.
Any anointing you want is on a person.
It's on a person.
If you will be anointed, it will be because an anointing came from someone to you. Even when God wants to anoint you, he doesn't pour it from heaven. He asks you to go and stand by your Moses. Then he takes the anointing from your Moses and puts it on you. So let's come to the question. Does your heart affect the anointing? Yes. How? The answer is simple. When your heart is proud, you can't receive an anointing. How does it happen? You see, in this book, Bishop talks about a proud heart. Yes. Avoid a proud heart. In chapter 40 of this Out of Shepherd, point number 4. It says, avoid a proud heart. And I'm reading from my tablet here. It says, a proud heart is a haughty and conceited heart. Wow. And Psalm 101, verse 5, says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Say, a proud heart.
A proud heart.
Type in the comment bar, I will not have a proud heart.
I will not have a proud heart.
Type, I will not have a proud heart.
I will not have a proud heart.
Now, what is the relationship between a proud heart and the anointing? Does anybody want to know?
Yes.
Want to know?
Yes.
The relationship between a proud heart and the anointing.
Yes.
Oh, you're not interested?
Yes.
You are interested?
Yes.
All right. Listen to this. The anointing is likened to oil. Oil. Oil that is in a bottle. In 1 Samuel 10:1, Samuel had a vial of oil. And he poured it on the head of Saul.
That's right.
So, anointings are in vessels. Your anointed pastor is a bottle of oil. Anyone you know who is anointed, stop seeing the person as a human being. Wow. See the person as a bottle of oil. So, for you to get the oil from the bottle, you must place yourself below the bottle. When you are proud and your heart is lifted up, you place yourself above the bottle. And as it's pouring on the floor. You are dry permanently because to be anointed, you must humble yourself and be under the anointed vessel. So, ladies and gentlemen, I dare to say that everyone watching has an anointed person around you.
Yes.
Don't make him or her your friend. Even if he wants to be your friend, let him or her call you his friend. You don't call the person your friend. And, you know, anointed people sometimes are lonely and they need friends. So if your lady reverend, your anointed lady reverend, says to you that, Jemima, I want to be your friend. See it as a privilege. But you must not see yourself as an equal. Because she has oil in her bottle. And to receive even one drop, in America we say, you got to go down. You got to go down, baby. So I pray for everyone that you have a humble heart. A heart that is under. A heart that is below. A heart that is subdued towards the anointed. Once your heart is proud, you will never receive the oil that is being poured from the bottle. May you place yourself under the oil that is being poured. And God will be your reward. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. My producer has just dampened my enthusiasm because I hear that our time is up.
Oh.
I hear that our time is up. I can't believe it. I mean, I'm enjoying the thing so much, but we'll see what happens with these questions. We still have the questions. We'll see how we put ourselves together to have another episode to answer them.
Yes, but I've enjoyed it, seriously. I've enjoyed the questions. And no, I can't. I can't believe that the time is up.
So keep
sending your questions.
Keep sending your questions.
Send them by WhatsApp. The numbers are on the screen. WhatsApp. Send them via Messenger, Facebook, or YouTube. Any of the portals.
Any of the portals.
And we will address them. But I really believe that somebody was blessed today. So, Bishop, come in.
Well, I'm really sad. I don't know what to do. I completely expected to end this quickly. But tonight, I want to remind you, for those of you who are watching, if you want to support the Art of Shepherding Chatroom by sowing a seed, and you really should, because I hear it's your favorite program. So you really should support the Art of Shepherding Chatroom. I want to encourage you to sow a seed. The numbers are up. For those of you who are in Ghana, there's a number for you to do with mobile money. And then for those of you who are outside Ghana, international as well, there's another number for you. I believe it's on your screen right now. You can see it. I want you to sow a seed, not just because we would appreciate the support and it would help us to do our work more, but because that seed will be an act of faith that will tell God that you are believing Him for something and you are willing to pay go to a certain level to see something new and different in your ministry.
True.
And I believe that a certain grace that flows with this show will be flowing into your ministry. The knowledge that is available here, that is being transmitted, will flow into your ministry, will make a difference in your ministry as you sow a seed. So I want you to sow a seed in faith, and as you sow the seed, believe that God will cause a difference in your ministry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all too soon, it's time to sign off tonight. I've enjoyed the show immensely. I believe that you have to. Like Bishop said, I want you to keep your questions coming. I want you to keep sending the questions. We'll do our best to answer the questions. For some of you, we may send you individual answers even, if we're not able to feature your questions on the show. But I want you to keep the questions coming. And I want you to keep sharing this stream whenever we're on. I want you to like the page. I want you to keep sharing it. Share the flyers. Spread the message about the Art of Shepherding chat room. I hear it's your favorite show, so you really shouldn't keep it to yourself. So ladies and gentlemen, all too soon it's time to sign off. I do really trust that God will give us the grace and we'll meet again the same time next week. Before we go, you know what we do. The prayer by Bishop. So I want to ask Bishop to pray for us. We're all shepherds. I'm a shepherd too. And I look forward to these prayers every week. So Bishop, I want to ask you to pray for us and pray for all the shepherds who are watching and who are listening before we sign off tonight.
Thank you. Let's close our eyes and you can touch your screen, your phone, your tablet. I want it to be a point of contact because I'm releasing an anointing that I believe will flow through that device you are watching this program on. Father, I thank you for the reality of the anointing.
Amen.
The reality of anointing transfer.
Amen.
I pray for the shepherds that have come on and the pastors, yes, far and near.
Yes.
I pray for their hearts.
Yes.
I declare in the name of Jesus that from today, they will have protected hearts.
Amen.
That any attempt of the enemy to pollute their hearts will fail.
Amen.
I cut off the hand of the wicked one.
Amen.
Who would want to introduce any poison, any pollutant,
amen,
to destroy great ministries,
amen,
burden ministries. Lord, amen, preserve the hearts.
Amen.
Preserve the hearts, Lord.
Amen.
I pray that each one will have an appetite for your word. An appetite for the company of ministers.
Oh, yes.
Like Samuel told Saul, that as you leave my presence, you will meet a company of prophets and you will begin to prophesy with them.
Oh,
Lord,
yes,
let every shepherd have his own or her own company of shepherds.
Yes.
Company of pastors.
Yes.
Like iron, may we sharpen each other,
yes,
as iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
I release strength.
Amen.
I release zeal.
Amen.
I release power.
Amen.
I release fire.
Amen.
I release an unction,
yes,
that will cause each one to become anointed enough,
yes,
to be faithful till the end.
Yes.
I bind any demon that will want to derail,
amen,
destinies. Any demon that will want to sideline great ministers who are,
yes,
glued to this program.
Yes.
I curse that plan.
Amen.
I destroy that plan.
Amen.
I bind that plan.
Amen.
I scatter the agenda of the enemy,
amen,
to introduce backsliding,
yes,
errant hearts,
yes,
erring hearts.
Yes.
I bind that plan.
Yes.
And I ask the Lord, you will establish each one,
yes,
that from this program shall arise giants,
amen,
with understanding,
yes,
giants with knowledge,
yes,
who rise up like an army of shepherds caring for God's flock. Thank you for churches that will grow,
yeah,
percenters that will grow.
Yeah.
Ministries that are refreshed.
Amen.
Destinies that are renewed.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, that these things we have shared, these words, these scriptures, will be anointed by you.
Yes.
And become seeds.
Amen.
That will grow to become big trees that will bear fruit.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for fruits. Mm. Thank you for blessings. Mm. And thank you for your will being done.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Bishop. Very powerful prayers. And I want to say thank you to everybody who has joined us tonight to watch us. Thank you to the studio audience. You've been fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us this week. And I want you to make a date with us. The same time next week is the Art of Shepherding chat room. And we know it's your favorite program now. Join us same time next week. And I believe that God will make a difference in your ministry. Goodbye. See you next week.
Trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.